So if you listen to our last episode, you recognize a part where we had to stop recording, and then Mike and I came back, and we had been yelling at each other for 20 minutes or so about Darkest Hour and the repercussions of our feelings about that. And
we just had addendum B of that argument.
Yeah, that argument is still going on. But and we're back. Welcome to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I'm your host, Mike. This is my co-host, who I'm thinking about replacing. Also, Mike.
We're both going to listen to the Darkest Hour Oscar Sprint profile again to see what the hell we said.
We're here
because now there's fake news going on over here. There's fake news.
Oscar category review, and we are covering the Best Supporting Actress category this time around. Going to try to eschew any talk of Darkest Hour for a later episode.
This is a great category. It's one of the best, one of the most loaded in terms of nominees and snubbings, and it's just loaded.
Pretty much consistently since episode one, we think this is the biggest category, the most loaded of the year, and interesting picks for the five nominees that they're going with, and we're going to cover them all in this Oscar category review just to get the social media stuff out of the way first. If you want to reach out to us, have any comments about the category reviews or the Oscar Sprint profile series that we have completed covering all these movies.
If you want to tweet about how Mike is wrong about Darkest Hour, please send it to @mmandoscar.com. No, @mmandoscar.
Yeah, you screwed it up. It's @mmandoscar.
At Twitter.com.
And Oscar on Twitter. We are Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram.
How does the internet work?
Mike, Mike, and Oscar @gmail.com and Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Reddit. That's where you can reach us. Tell us all your thoughts. We love interacting with you guys. And if you have to tell me that I'm wrong about Darkest Hour, I'll fight you too. I don't care.
I'm stealing your delivery now. That's all I know. That's we're hanging out too much. Oh my God. Mary J. Blige, Mike.
Well, wait a minute. Just wait. Let's ease into it.
MJB, please.
Tell you how these Oscar category reviews are going to go if you have not joined us yet. We take the five nominees per category that the Academy has given us, and we're going to parse through them. We're going to give you reasons why every nominee will win and why every nominee won't win. Thus, today we're going to tell you why every nominee for the Best Supporting Actor will win the Oscar and why they won't until we get down. All five are done. We're going to go perfecting perfection. The perfecting perfection, if you haven't heard us in our previous retrospectives, you can go back and listen to those. But what we do is we take the nominees in this category and we re-rank them as we see fit. So we're going to tell you who should win out of this category, not necessarily who should win on the year. That's going to be coming on in a later episode, and not necessarily who our favorites are or if we agree with all
our predictions, right? That's not a prediction pod. It is a who should win of these five.
So with that said, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Mary J. Blige, we're going to go alphabetically. She is nominated as Florence Jackson in Mudbound. Let's start with why they won't win. Yeah, let's start with why they won't win this time. Let's start with why Mary J. Blige will not win the Best Supporting Actress Oscar.
Not enough screen time. As award circuit with Clayton Davis originally put in my brain that factor, there's not a signature scene either.
I have that same, and amazingly, I didn't steal it from you. There's no big emotional
outburst. We both stole it
from Clayton Davis, yeah, who are big fans of Shout Out Clayton. No big emotional outbursts like we're so accustomed to seeing from our supporting characters winning these awards. You're right. You're absolutely right.
In the background of some scenes, she's going for it, but it's like that close-up scene that Laurie Metcalf has, that, I mean, obviously a million close-ups for Allison Janney. She doesn't have that kind of a showcase necessarily. She's got one voiceover narration behind her character with beautiful cinematography from Rachel Morrison, but she doesn't have as large of a role in the ensemble as we would have hoped for or would have loved.
Yeah, she's not Christoph Waltz in Django. She's not Olympia Dukakis having the real heart-to-heart scene with any, the big emotional investing scene.
Two like movies she did we've covered. Yes.
We covered those in previous retrospectives. So yeah, it's lacking in this performance. Not to say that it necessarily this performance needed it, per se.
Yeah, I think it's going to hurt her chances in the end. You know, the movie didn't get the Oscar momentum many thought it would. Only three nominations. A lot of people had a problem with that.
Yeah, it's a critically beloved property for sure.
But most importantly, she has too many Grammys, and her platinum records are just overflowing her.
You stay out of this business, you. This isn't a business for you. You have that business.
Hollywood is a jealous place. Yeah, she's got a lot of hardware from the other industries up that away. But listen, does Hollywood think the nomination is enough here?
Half Measure City. right? Yeah. That's a big theme, and we've said it a lot, and you might think it's a cop-out, but go back and look at Oscar's history, and you cannot tell us that the Academy has not taken half measures both in nominations and in who they decide to win.
True.
It's happened time and time again.
So, Mike, keep going. How is she going to win this thing?
This is arguably the best performance of the year in a certain way. Because there's not that big emotional scene, we're taken back to supporting characters being supporting characters. It's not Christoph Waltz in Django Unchained, who we both argued should have probably been the lead actor in that
had
movie.
All the agency for the right. biggest scenes, which made me mad on watch because it should be the title character. How about gets the agency there?
Exactly. So
I'm going back to Django Unchained.
It's a performance by a supporting character who is in the background in a lot of scenes, but she's killing it in the background of a lot of scenes. She's emoting. It's a very personal performance. It lets you inside her mindset a little bit, and she, as she's told in many interviews, how she kind of felt the pain of that character. It's redefining, in a way, what a supporting actress could be and should be recognized for, and that's supporting the movie. It's not taking away any scenes from anyone, but it's being a damn good role character.
Yeah, she gets the teammate of the year award in a sports reference. Subtle, stoic, less is more kind of performance. It reminded me of Casey Affleck's last year, even though it's a much smaller sample size. It's like a Leslie Manville performance that's also nominated in the category. Look at what Hollywood's doing this year. They love the subtle performances. She should win because she's a 9-time Grammy Award winner. And let me flesh this point out here, because she's earned, and she's one of the few people on this planet who's earned the title of diva. Like, we throw that title around.
She's a total, yeah, and in a good way. She's a badass diva.
We throw that, anybody who's a little, you know, prima donna or whatever,
yeah.
We throw that title around about anybody. Oh, I'm being my diva self
right.
today. No,
right.
you're not.
Yeah.
She is a diva because she can be a diva because
yes.
she sold, you know, 800 million records or whatever that number is. So this is a person who went without makeup or eyelashes or modern comforts for the entirety of the shoot, who went out there just herself and that's it, and played the role of a sharecropper. Are you kidding me? Look at that transformation.
And don't overlook the importance that the Academy and winning the Oscar puts on EGOTting. They know their role in an EGOT, and if they have a chance to recognize someone who's talented enough to win all the Grammys and who has the talent to translate over to the Oscar world, it could happen. Cher beat out Meryl Streep, and again, it was the Moonstruck in 1987, and
right.
she had her own merits, but it's happened. They know that these talented performers are worldly now. They're not just segmented into these one classes and these stay-in-your-lane arguments. This is clearly an Oscar-worthy performance, at least to be nominated.
They trying to steal fans, you think? Or they're just
whatever works, right? Keep that money coming in. You sold a lot of records. Maybe you could sell us a lot of Netflix subscriptions.
Dude, look at Mary J. Blige on stage and look at her in this movie. Just the visual disparity is ridiculous. And that's the same lady.
So what else we have here also, Mike? Tell me why she's going to win. Put a bow on this.
Dee Reese and her mostly female crew. They have a ton of goodwill right now amongst the critics. A lot who thought they got snubbed, like I said. Cinematography, adapted screenplay, best supporting actress was less than many think it deserved. And I have been on the record saying it's probably one more than I think the movie deserved. I know that's a bit unpopular. I thought it was a very good movie. I gave it a good grade. I think it was awarded somewhat appropriately. I still don't get the best. I mean, I thought Dee Reese is probably higher on my best director's rankings than she is on my, or Virgil Williams is on my best adapted screenplay. I had story problems with this movie at the end of the day.
I'm with you.
However, I thought this ensemble was phenomenal. I thought they elevated the on-the-nose dialogue.
We have said time and again, the cast in this is specifically the Jackson family.
Right.
Out of this world.
The performance shines in a few scenes at the end of the film that I won't tell you anything about. Yes, this family is idyllic in many ways, even to the story's detriment at times, because you don't get that complex portrayal that we all need, I think, to move forward and truly empathize with. But Mary J. Blige is a major reason for that the idyllic nature of this performance. And when you're able to sell those values, when you're able to sell that level of sympathy, I would call it, we're rooting for her and her family. We're rooting for her very hard. Now, she does a lot with a little screen time. So in a way, you can kind of flip that argument on its head.
Yep.
There's only one voiceover, like I said, maybe a two-parter, part voiceover, beginning and end of the movie. So the story is very creative and very forceful on how it gives this character agency. It's a pleasure to watch both Dee Rees and you know, Virgil Williams, like I said, and Mary J. Blige make this happen, where they don't need to linger a close up on her for her to get her character's agency, making moves and making things happen and really swaying the plot like she does. The problem, I would say, is the dialogue's bad. The story is disjointed, and we
certainly hampered by the story. At least from both our perspectives, and we've covered Mudbound in a couple episodes.
I wish she was the protagonist of the movie. I wish her and
I wish the whole Jackson family had their own movie.
The Jackson family.
I'm with you 110%.
And that wasn't what the book was. Go back and listen to our episode. It wasn't what the book was. The book was written by a white novelist who wrote a story about her ancestors that she heard passed down from generation to generation, and that's the story that was told, as well as some additional information about the Jacksons in this movie. And they tried to like balance the two. I don't know if they quite hit that feat.
No, there's certainly shortcomings, especially in the as far as the screenwriting process went with bringing this book to film. And will that penalize her? I don't know. But let's talk about the favorite of the category, certainly right now. Allison Janney as Lavanna Harding in I, Tonya. Give me some reasons why the favorite will go down trophy-less.
Oh, it's tough here. But in a year where domestic abuse is under assault, will the very portrayal of it here be enough to push people's votes away at the last second? Let's have a happy night. Let's not think about the complexity of the portrayal, because we want to out of sight, out of mind. We'll deal with, you know, Laurie Metcalf just being a complex portrayal
caring
of a mother,
yeah.
Caring mother.
Let's
even
wag
if
our finger at domestic abuse, even if it's done by a character written that way. Yeah,
this character is very abrasive. It's downright evil at times. I mean, she's got flaws that just scream at you from the very first scene she's on screen. There,
you just touched on one of my big reasons: is her portrayal too evil? Now, look, we've gone this route, kind of the ridiculousness of Tommy Wiseau, the curtness of Tonya Harding, played by Margot Robbie.
I think we're both going to answer this question in the why she will win, by the way, but yeah, we're trying to make the argument here.
We know those characters, though. We know Tommy Wiseau as a human being. We know Tonya Harding as a human being. We have plenty of exposure to her. The Lavanna Harding character, we don't really have a lot of relatability to her in other forms of media outside of a couple interviews she did in the 90s. We don't know this character as well as the others. So is Janney playing it? Was it written too evil, too unrealistic? We don't really have that real person to base it off of as we do in other cases.
It could feel like a bit of a caricature if you don't watch, you know, the interviews of Lavanna Harding.
Dives,
if you do the deep dive like we had to, it's quite possible. The Mark Rylance effect of the last few years, where after somebody
of the favorites,
somebody wins all the precursor awards, and then somebody else wins the Oscar after the balloting's finished. It's amazing that rarely happens, because the voting body is similar. The voting body is similar between these BAFTAs and the Academy here in America. So the category could seem like a two-person race here, and Metcalf's got a lot of goodwill going way back with a movie that is not abrasive at all. In fact, it's inviting to everybody.
It's a very good point. Yeah, it's certainly two different sides of the same coin in terms of the family values and how they're portrayed on film. How about how I, Tonya as a film was received by the critics? Now, again, and we talked about this in our lead actress episode, we're not going to award. This movie doesn't have a Best Picture nominee. It doesn't have a Best Director nominee. If Margot Robbie's performance has enough momentum to win the Best Actress, Best Lead Actress, this could leave Allison Janney's the odd woman out in this, because they're not going to give two acting awards to something that lacks those nominations.
Right. Mathematical impossibility, as you said in the last
pod. At least improbability,
Improbability for sure. Or it's never happened before, so it'll be new ground. I don't know. That's a good reason. That's a good reason right there. Is the movie as a dark comedy something that you can't give such high praise to?
you know, I feel bad in that we feel like you might be repeating a lot of the same things, but they bear repeating because you're dealing with, first of all, we're dealing with the favorite of this category. So right. we have to nitpick as much as we can. And even though those arguments might have been fleshed out, you might have heard them before, they're here. They're reasons, legitimate reasons, why Janney may not win.
And don't give me a backlash that this movie's not a dark comedy. This is a dark comedy. Go, ba-dum-dum, yeah. with the fourth wall breaks. Of course it's a dark comedy. They're cutting
Margot
to...
Margot Robbie could have worn a Groucho Marx, you know, disguise through some of
it. I'm not saying we all should think it's funny, but the tone of the movie is going for laughs in certain points.
Helped out by the soundtrack, too, immensely.
Darkly comedic. Yeah. Oh, yeah, never mind the soundtrack. Yeah. So does the tonal... just ridiculousness of this movie. I mean, we said it during our reviews. We watched the movie a couple times. What the hell do we think of it? It's either an A or a B minus. Yep. We don't know.
No idea.
It's one of those movies. I mean, we flushed it out. We kind of landed somewhere, but we like the movie more than dislike. We think they're responsibly portraying some of these evil things and these ugly things. So that's probably the reason why she will win, Michael, because she pulls off and gives us empathy and sympathy for this character. It's not just a Cruella de Vil.
Your transitions have been downright sexy lately.
Oh, at least somebody finds them so. It's my co-host.
How about because Allison Janney as LaVonna Harding may be arguably the best performance of the year. It's a really good performance. She's the favorite, and it takes a statistical anomaly to knock her off her pedestal. Only one time in the past decade has the Oscar winner in this category not won at least either the Critics' Choice or the Golden Globe. So right. to put that a different way, every time an actress has won both the Critics' Choice and the Golden Globe in the supporting actress category, they win the Oscar. Again, you're talking about a mathematical improbability. It's improbable for her to be knocked off this path to glory.
The SAG as well, yeah. She's probably got it locked up. We'll see if they're in the age of crazy internet, whatever's happening every day, backlashes, you know, causing news to travel so fast that so many cycles creates a voting backlash at the last second. I don't know. This performance, though, is, like you said, might be the best of the year. It's a one-liner fest, which we know is catnip to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Back from Alan Arkin that we covered. I mean, we're referencing all these obscure things because we covered one Best Supporting Actor category that we kind of fleshed out. So, yeah, in that category, Alan Arkin
like a sore thumb in our minds,
was the... Yeah, we don't just make obscure references all the time, but it's...
Sometimes
we do.
How about in this screenplay that is loaded, chock full of interesting characters, the old lady, the old abusive mother talking with a bird on her shoulder the entire time may be the most interesting.
She's like a character from Veep, man. She's got weirdest, he's got the weirdest tics, and they're hysterical, and they're like, you feel guilty about laughing at them, but she's funny. She is as complex a portrayal as you get. And the subtle movements of her face, like we said about other characters, in the scenes where you know she's giving her daughter tough love, but she's also hurting to do it. And when you get it early in the movie where you actually see the daughter turn her back on her, and then she's like, oh, no. And that happens throughout the rest of the story. It's just more subtly done.
This question just came to me, and it's a derivative of, is the LaVonna character too evil? Everybody pretty universally seems to love Allison Janney, the person. Does it help her Oscar chances knowing that she was able to be that beloved but also play this ruthless?
Probably not, because...
You don't think so?
She's, again, showing such a disparity from her real self.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
she's just a sweetheart to everybody, and she plays this total lunatic in a movie. It's kind of like Daniel Day-Lewis being such a whack job in real life,
right,
and playing such just a poised, thoroughly controlled OCD to the max, whatever that guy was in the other movie. So, like, Frances McDormand, well, she's got some commonalities with the character, but still, that's why her Fargo character, so why she's such a great actress. So yeah, I guess I think Bad Moms is a popular movie series right now. Just give you a nonsense reason. LaVonna is the baddest mom, literally. But yeah, I mean, the evil characters, the ones that do the bad things, they're typically the most interesting. And just look no further than the Genesis story in Paradise Lost in the Bible. I mean, I give you a hint. You know, the name of the most interesting character of that story rhymes with Schmevel. I know you love those, Another Mike. Classic. Again, a joke for only for Mike.
Another classic.
But also great wigs. That's why she's going to win. Great wigs wow. in this movie. I was
the
shocked.
The first time.
I was shocked to see Allison Janney's real hair again. I forgot it. The movie made me forget it because that wig was brilliant.
That might be the highest compliment given in the history of the show. Let's talk about Leslie Manville playing Cyril Woodcock in The Phantom Thread. Why will Leslie Manville go home without the trophy and will lose?
Because she's not Allison Janney.
Oh, yeah?
I laughed at my own joke, but not supposed to do that. But yeah, I mean, Janney probably has the inside track. Now, like we said, did people watch Phantom Thread enough?
I have that as one of my main reasons. Too little, too late in the terms of momentum. This movie came out Christmas Day. Between the time it came out and nominations voting, it only had about a 3-week window. Has people seen it enough to enjoy, to really appreciate the performance that Manville's putting forward here? Never mind what it says about Daniel Day-Lewis's performance, but this is a movie, and you're the biggest advocate for it, that you have to see time and time again to really get
and time and time and time again
to get all you can out of each of these performances and really see what's going on with each of these characters.
I'm not
going
to lie to you folks. I saw this movie a bunch in theaters. Most of the times I saw it by myself because nobody would go to me with me. The few times I went with somebody, they didn't like the Leslie Manville performance. They were like, wait, that got nominated?
That's another reason.
So I don't think people really focused on her character. That character kind of snuck up on them.
The people that...
Off-air jokes making us lose our mind again.
The people that have to see this movie, quote unquote, may not give... the proper respect and resonance of this character that she's
you have a better eye than me because I needed to see this movie a couple times before I started to go gaga over Leslie Manville.
I'm just an inherently evil person.
Well, I was just going nuts over the two leads for a while, and then I was like, wait a minute, Leslie Manville is going off in this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, she's a theater actress. She's used to, you know, projecting to the friggin' balcony. And she's able to pull off the gulp that just only almost makes me cry. Are you kidding me? I can't believe how good this performance is. So we guess we got to transition now.
Well, I got one more for you. How about a deep cut reason? Maybe a too woke Hollywood reason. Wow. Maybe in the industry where everyone has teams and people to do their hair and makeup and people they bounce ideas off of and fixers that keep their images clean, maybe Hollywood doesn't want to give the recognition to the character that's playing with Oz behind the curtain. Maybe they want to keep that curtain closed, the one that might be pulling the strings in the big picture of it. Maybe they don't want that character to get the recognition and be memorable. I'm not going to go
too sneaky.
I'm not going to give full spoilers. People that have seen the movie should know what I mean by that. But there's a resemblance to the big, all great and powerful Oz not being what he seems in this movie.
I just thought she was staring at my soul and. understood my very being with how, like, what is she staring at in this movie?
No, it's your soul.
It's my soul. It has to be. Has to be me, right?
She abducted it. She's yours now.
She's amazing. And yeah, I mean, is she too subtle? Is she too, you know, all knowing? Is she omniscient?
Is she here right now? What does she think of this podcast?
Why is she going to win, Mike?
Because I can't remember a Daniel Day-Lewis performance that has given away more scenes to a co-star that those scenes were grabbed onto and shaken out for all they're worth than Leslie Manville did in this performance.
It's hard to find better acted scenes than the ones with her and Daniel Day-Lewis this year. I love them. I keep watching them. Like I said, I'm obsessed. And I do think Phantom Thread is growing on the Academy. I just wonder if it's too late. I wonder if this was one of those movies we look back on and say, holy shit, this was good.
Well, you could argue certainly that it's too late already for this movie. Or you can say, look, this movie only had 3 weeks to be fully fleshed out and digested by the Academy in mass before they had to vote again for the nominees. And yet, a fact that you've stated over and over, this movie didn't just get the makeup and the dress nominations. It got major nominations. Best actor, supporting actress, best picture, best director. So there's clearly momentum in favor of this movie.
I just wonder if it's like, okay, this movie is really good. We know it's really good, right? We don't know how good it is. Like, how should we think? Like, that's the way we felt after watching it the first time.
Yeah.
And we're like, we know, we this quality here. This is another level. Like, I know it's another level. Now I have to understand what other level it is and where it's at. I mean, this movie makes you wrestle like that. I can't believe I'm interested in a freaking, I'm a just a schmo guy who wears jeans all the time. And I care about, you know, jeans and sweatshirts and hoodies. And I care about freaking 1950s fashion.
Apart the seams to see if there's any hidden messages.
I don't care about any of those things. I look like a schlub my whole life.
What about the idea that this movie is what The Post wanted to be? You have a beloved director, a beloved lead actor, a beloved lead actress slash supporting actress that everybody reveres, everybody wants to see win, they want to see it do well, but it's actually an enticing and award-worthy script along with it.
Good compare rebuttal. The Post to the Phantom Thread.
Well, I'm not comparing, I'm just saying on the face of it.
I think The Post wanted the level of prestige that this movie got.
That's what I mean.
The
That's
last,
what I'm saying,
yeah. You know, the last darkest hour of the Academy of voting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's very strange.
I mean, there are hordes of people that say Paul Thomas Anderson should have an Oscar already. Hordes of people that say Daniel Day-Lewis should have a fourth already. You know? I mean, it exists.
We might, 15 years from now, say, how the hell does PTA not rack up all these Oscars like we did with Scorsese, yep. Right? Like, how does he not win for Goodfellas? How does Spike Lee not win for Do the Right Thing? How do these great film directors not win more awards and we only understand their movies years later? Like, this is a weird movie to wrap your head around, like, subject matter-wise. Like, this is abrasive lead character, and Manville might just get that reverberation. Like, this movie might, this would be my dark horse for just that slowly looks into your soul and tells you to vote for it and brainwashes
you. Very vulnerable also, Mike, this episode.
I think the people that are film junkies, the film junkies going to love this movie because of the way it surprises you, because of the little things it's able to do. And there's just a lot to digest and love about it.
How about, because arguably this is the best performance of the year, you could say, as you've been able to say for all three of these.
I'm still trying
far.
To understand it.
Yeah, and that's part of it. You
usually
don't understand
I'm
what's
looking
the hell's
away
going on.
And crying at the soul gaze, but yeah, I mean it's a great.
I don't know what the hell's going on, but you know it's great.
It's the subtlest performance, the little bit, the gulp. That was not subtle way to move, but that's like her. That's her big move. The whole movie, she gulps.
Let's move to a performance full of subtlety in its own right, but also with some more emotion attached to it. And that would be Laurie Metcalf playing the part of Marion McPherson in Lady Bird. Let's say why Jackie from Roseanne will still be Oscarless after March 4th.
Again, because of Allison Janney, it's mathematically very unlikely because Janney's won all the other stuff. Well, how about you, Mike?
It's a different take on the mathematical argument, not necessarily having to do with Janney specifically, but there's a very real chance that Laurie Metcalf ends up the odd woman out of the Oscars puzzle where the Academy feels it needs to recognize Guillermo del Toro, Jordan Peele, and Greta Gerwig, if not both Greta Gerwig and Saoirse Ronan. There's certainly momentum towards Lady Bird, Get Out, and Shape of Water, which is the overall movie favorite, wanting to recognize those films, wanting to give them the statues. And again, you're dealt with the hand of, okay, if we give Lady Bird Best Picture, if we give Greta Gerwig Best Screenplay, Best Director, or both,
right,
are we going to give three, maybe four Oscars to this movie, making it one of the defining movies of any awards season?
You would think that it's a hard year to load up on any one movie because you got a bunch of really, really, really good ones.
As The Shape of Water takes home nine on us.
Is there a great movie in this year? I mean, we can make our arguments and we will. We do think so. It's just we all have different opinions. I mean, because it's that kind of year. You got a lot of almost great and a lot of personal favorites for people.
For sure.
So in that vein, I think this is the most loaded category of the year, Best Supporting Actress. Votes could go a lot of different ways, so the field could have a lot to say and steal votes away from everybody. So will something like Janney's performance and Metcalf's performance lose a lot of votes through the rest of the crowd and make it a tighter race? This could open things up.
Or the protest vote. A lot of people want to vote for Mom to win the Best Supporting Actress, but maybe Mom was done better in different movies that didn't even make the cut. Holly Hunter from The Big Sick says hello.
She's a good mom. She's a good performance of a mom. Yeah, not even going to do a mental gymnastic on that one and get suckered into your lawyer's dirty lawyer's tricks. No, I'm going to keep it on the projection level and say that, yeah, if Ronan wins Best Actress, if Lady Bird wins Best Picture. So let me transition, Mike. Why is Laurie Metcalf going to win this sucker?
Because Laurie Metcalf, as I just said, is mom. She's all of our moms at different points growing up throughout our adolescence. And all those things I said about Allison Janney being the shoo-in, how all the precursors, there's only been one woman to ever win the Golden Globe and Critics' Choice for Best Supporting Actress and not win the Academy Award. And that was Kate Winslet in 2009 because she wasn't a supporting actress in the Academy Award. She actually won Best Lead Actress.
Right.
So it's never happened. But if anyone can do the impossible, it's mom. Isn't it, Mom? Well, don't you want your mother? Isn't this all of our mothers portrayed in this Metcalf performance? And she's going to overcome the odds once again. And Mom, damn it, for all of our mothers, for all they do, deserves an Oscar.
The brilliance of this movie, that like two guys who have son-mother relationships yep. can still, in a weird way, relate to
without question,
this
yeah.
one that's totally unique. It's arguing about what the kid should name herself. You know, to her friends, do you have an argument with your mom about what you should name yourself? I want to be called Michelangelo. No, I was Mike. I was always Mike and Michael, whatever. It didn't matter.
Yes, no, so not I.
These arguments are not arguments but we've ever had.
It's a credit to the screenwriter.
Did you ever ask your mom when you should have sex? Mom, if you're listening, no, of course we didn't. Of course we didn't ask you that. So, yeah, so I mean, the brilliance of this movie is that it makes us relate
there's
to this relationship.
Relatability here, as I shudder thinking about that question. Maybe the strongest soliloquy scene of the year from out of all these actresses? Maybe the strongest zoom in close up scene?
She drops some bombs, yeah. too. Yeah, I mean, the silent soliloquy at the very end. Mm-hmm. And yes, she does give some major speeches, levels her daughter, and the daughter comes firing right back at her. I love the interplay on how similar those two characters are.
That's great. The whole relationship, I can't, again, Metcalf,
you believe it. Yeah.
Metcalf is a gem. And
you believe their mother-daughter.
Yeah, the whole relationship is extremely well done. And hey, maybe I'd be remiss to say that this could arguably be the best performance of the year out of this category.
I just think in the plot, you know, this character is the antagonist of the film. So she's got that going for her in a way where there's a lot of chances for her to show her bestness because she is intricately involved in the plot. So every time that Lady Bird's got to make another move, what drives the plot forward is the interplay between mom and daughter, right? You know, that middle of the movie. Just think about the middle of the movie when shit starts to go down and go wrong. You know, what drives it? It's mom and daughter going at it. And that's, again, it's a beautiful part of this, but it's also just a testament to these two actresses. And to Gerwig's writing that she makes a coming-of-age movie about those two characters, the character that is actually coming of age and the character that's letting go of control. And it's as much about both of those characters, like Gerwig has said. I'm literally quoting her there.
It was an interesting take. I can't remember if it was Entertainment Weekly or if it was Gold Derby, but one of them had the interview with Laurie Metcalf herself, and she described this character as one that lived in fear of Lady Bird's adolescence and Lady Bird's growing up. And it was such an interesting take, and kind of repositioned all of Metcalf's decisions and subtleties done in this movie. And I'm on record when we did our Lady Bird review saying that, you know, are we just going to reward her for playing mom? But having the mindset that she's actually being fearful the whole time, and that's what results in the anger, it put a whole new spin on it for me and made me appreciate the performance a lot more.
Right. I mean, there's fearful, there's overtired and overworked, there's totally like phobic in many ways based on her thinking about her own, you know, upbringing and how she didn't want to be and wanted to be the opposite of the negligent mother and the nasty mother.
I'll never grow up to be my parents.
And she doesn't necessarily, but the hyperactive OCD driving her daughter craziness of it does a whole other thing, plays all these other games. I think there's a political reason for a steal here.
Yeah.
To give her one more reason why it might happen. Look, Peele's probably going to win Best Original Screenplay, like we've said a couple times. Del Toro's probably going to win Best Director. DGA came out 2 weeks ago, like we've said. I mean, those are clear favorites. The best picture is up for grabs, like we both said. So that could go for Lady Bird. That can go for Get Out. Dunkirk. Probably not Dunkirk, but Shape of Water, Three Billboards. Probably those big four are leading the pack now. We need to give Lady Bird some awards this year. It's a great movie on the year, in our opinion. So
totally agree.
Where are those awards coming? Yeah. Where are those awards coming? It could come in Best Picture, or it could come Supporting Actress, Best Actress. Mm-hmm. It's probably not coming Best Screenplay. So where are they coming? This could be one of those where everybody's filling out their ballot and say, I didn't give anything to Lady Bird.
Something's got to go to Lady Bird. And it is a weird year, and you're certainly right. It could break down that way because there's not that one movie that's head and shoulders above everything, but there's certainly three or four that you think are just representative of this year and deserve recognition. You're absolutely right.
And again, if the field comes back to Metcalf because the field is stealing votes away from Janney, because these other actresses, like we said with Manville, she could steal votes that Janney was getting before people saw Phantom Thread three times.
That's a really good point.
They didn't see they maybe saw Phantom Thread once, but they didn't see it three times a while back.
That's proper due. Yeah.
And you got some true believers like myself that may vote for, you know, Manville down the line. I don't know.
Interesting point. We'll go to our final nominee in this category, Octavia Spencer, playing Zelda in The Shape of Water. I'll lead off and tell you why Octavia Spencer will not win Oscar gold on Sunday, March 4th. We are dealing with all of these women, these powerful women, this most loaded category. All four previously may be the best performance of the year in this category. I can say with pretty much definitively, this performance is not the strongest of the year of the five.
Yeah, she's very good in this movie.
She's good. Yeah.
She's funny.
No argument.
She's funny. She steals a lot of scenes from Sally Hawkins, like we said. Because that's her game her whole career. She's awesome at stealing scenes. I mean, she's been nominated for Best Supporting Actress how many times now? Just three or four? Crushing it as a supporting actress. She's found this niche. And everybody complains now that because of all these similar roles and similar type of roles in the plot, never mind roles in the type of story she's working in, that's kind of so much familiarity that it breeds contempt. I mean, there's an old saying.
Definitely
there.
Definitely possibility. There's also, I've heard asked a bunch of times through various interviews, how come you keep getting put in these characters during this specific time period? There could be fatigue from that too. Octavia Spencer, seeing in this 1950s, 40s, 60s type era, is always seems to be playing these characters, and through no fault of her own, really, because who honestly cares as long as the movie is done well, what time period it is. But maybe there's fatigue from seeing her in these spots in this era.
I would like to see a longer interview with her because I'd like to see why she loves these, you know, these this is like her wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Playing a 1950s, 60s, either maid or, you know, an administrative assistant, like Hidden Figures, The Help, and this one, where she is playing a worker bee in a tough work environment, brutally tough work environment, where her race factors in, where her sex factors in. And yeah, I mean, she's overcoming a lot to get agency and fighting for agency in these movies, and she gets it in this movie.
Yep.
And it's a testament to her character. It is a testament to the writing, even though we have some problems with the script in this movie. It's a hard performance to just crap upon because
I don't mean to.
But is it the best performance in the movie, the best supporting performance? Like
same
we said,
argument we had with
there's
Sally
a lot
Hawkins,
of great
yep.
performances in a supporting role in this movie. It's probably the best supporting actress performance, I would say.
Well, it might be the best because it's the most relatable, but in this year, in this category, with these nominees, is relatable good enough to win the award? I'd say no.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably think a little higher of the performance, but I also would say that she's going to lose to Allison Janney.
I actually think Laurie Metcalf might be her biggest competition in this manner. She's the relatable best friend, and we all love our best friend. We all have our best friend. But if you're thinking about your relatability to these characters, and that's what you're going to decide the voting on, I'm not saying it happens or not, but just follow this line of thinking. If you see your best friend and your mother on the same ballot, who are you going to vote for? You're not going to give it to your best friend. You're going to give it to your mother 10 times out of 10 in the balloting, aren't you? Doesn't mom deserve it over your best friend?
Herr Dr. Freud, that is the mother or your best friend. Choose. Oh, my God. That's a great point. So She also gets Sally Hawkins to mime something that I'm not going to mention, but is that a loss? Is that disqualify? I don't know. Let's talk about why she will win. Why is she going to win this, Mike?
Because it's a reliably steady performance.
She's going to win because she gets Sally Hawkins to mime something.
Well.
And it's something we absolutely necessary to the plot.
She literally does the speaking for this year's most adorable protagonist on film.
True.
She's the mouth when there is no words to be spoken by the Sally Hawkins character.
Yeah.
She is the one doing the emoting through words and through audio for the majority of this film. And not to mention, she's a badass independent woman. It's her man's fault that the things go wrong when they do in this story, and she puts him in his place, and she's talking bad about him the whole time because of her being such a good wife in other areas. I mean, it's an incredibly independent woman, an incredibly independent character.
Yeah, like I said, even in the reasons why she will lose, she's great in everything.
Yeah,
and she's great in this kind of role. I mean, this role is her wheelhouse right now. Once, twice, three times. I mean, that's a trend now that she's crushing a role like this. So maybe if The Shape of Water wins everything, I mean, people are just smitten in Hollywood. It comes at them from all angles. It assaults all their, because it's an issue movie about five of the most important issues all in one movie. Saying the good things about it. It's a movie where that has subtext and text, even though I don't know if it dances on too many layers, but there are layers.
And dancing.
It does something where it innovates a genre, and it's got the nostalgia of the old Hollywood movies working in there, and it flips like the monster movie trope on its head into a fairy tale.
You can't argue that there is momentum for Hollywood and the Academy wanting to trip over itself to award and reward this movie. People are in love with it. And that stretches everywhere from common folk to actors in the business. Kumail Nanjiani, I'll say it again, has on record on Twitter saying the one movie that stuck with him over and over is Shape of Water. I see critics referring to it all the time. There could very well be a push to make Shape of Water the most rewarded to live up to the 13 nominations it has.
I like this movie more upon rewatch. I really liked it when I watched it with you, and I watched you watch the movie because you had some outrage.
Yeah, that was a fun movie going.
The
second time it grew on me again, I just can't find it in me to embrace it as many people have, and maybe that's a me problem, and like many things in life are.
Well, Michael, Hollywood, I'm not a geologist or anything, but Hollywood, well, that's rocks.
Yeah.
Where
are you going with this?
I'm not a map maker. I'm not Lewis and Clark.
All right.
I don't know geography that well.
you've hammered home the point that you're not a smart man.
But Hollywood is close to the sea, and mer people yes, live in the sea.
They sure do.
So Hollywood might like them mers. They might get, you know, if the mers are going to take over, they're going to take over from that area.
You never discount the Illuminati vote, that we're all lizard people running the world behind the scenes. Yes. So those are your top five. Those are the five nominees for Best Supporting Actress, why they will and why they will not win the award. We're going to break down Perfecting Perfection. Again, Perfecting Perfection, something from our old retrospective episodes. If you are not familiar with it, that's where we take the nominees and we give them to you in the proper order that we think they should be in. So again, it's not necessarily our prediction, not necessarily our picks for the year, but more just taking the five nominees the Academy gives us and giving you the proper order for these five. Let's start with number five, Perfecting Perfection. Also, Mike, who's your number five?
It is Mary J. Blige. Again, I think all five of these performances are strong.
Love them.
It's my fifth best on the year. Not enough in terms of screen time. Not enough in terms of focus. I wish I saw more. I wish this movie was Mary J. Blige-centric and that Mary J. Blige was up for Best Actress this year because I thought she had more in her. I thought we needed more of her.
Blige is actually my number four for a lot of the similar reasons. My number five is Octavia Spencer. Again, I just think...
She's my number four.
Okay. Well,
so we're both racist. This is how not racist we are. We don't care about this. All right. Come on.
Well, look, Octavia Spencer, again, I just don't... I think there are a low... It's a loaded category. There's loaded performances all year. I think her lows outweigh her highs. Her cons outweigh the pros in terms of her winning the award. I don't know that relatable... which is her biggest strength, I think I would say, is enough to carry this award this year. In other years, maybe it is. I just don't think it is. And Blige, a lot of the same reasons you just said.
Spencer has a big scene with Shannon in this movie. She's got a couple of scenes where she's taken us through Sally Hawkins' POV and kind of adding more subtext, because of course she's not saying exactly what Sally Hawkins means. They're playing off one another and how they communicate with other people.
Yes,
them,
for sure.
Them against the company there. So she's doing a good amount of acting and playing all the layers.
We've had years in the past where this performance by Octavia Spencer would win the award. I mean, without question.
Yes. And Mary J. Blige could have taken it too. I mean, yeah, we just question. These are really strong performances. The problem is this year, like, we have movies that are and performances that are not nominated in this category that we think should have been nominated almost every other year. But this year is like 10 deep of great supporting actresses.
So good to see it too.
So that's the problem
with
this year.
You could say the same thing, but I think it's supporting is stronger.
Leslie Manville's my number three, Mike.
Laurie Metcalf, my number three. Her performance has grown on me. Like I said,
we did this in both of us today.
She would have been number five for me if we had this when we first reviewed Lady Bird. But again, I gained a new perspective in my time, and I really tried to approach this in a different way. I've tried the same with Shape of Water. Not
she's growing on you.
She has. Her performance
I'll take
has.
That as a small.
Not to say that Octavia Spencer's Mary J. Blige just hasn't. I just think that out of these five, Laurie Metcalf's performance has done the most in terms of mobility with this ranking. What about your number three?
Leslie Manville's there for me, and I love her performance. I don't necessarily, because I think the top two are so strong, that 1A and 1B. Like, I'd be shocked if Leslie Manville won on Academy Night.
I would too.
I love it. I was shocked that it was nominated, and I think most people were. So maybe it's got that super dark horse slash super, you know, upset special
big
ready. But I think there's a clear top two in my mind. That's just where I'm at. But
you could be right.
You,
just...
I can't hate on you for loving Leslie Manville's performance. I mean, it's pretty great. So what's your number two there, Mike?
Well, for terms of review, my five is Spencer. My four is Mary J. Blige. My three is Metcalf. What's your 5-3?
I have Blige, Spencer, Manville, 5-4-3.
I'll reveal my two, which will reveal my one. I'm Janie 2, Manville 1. I loved Leslie Manville in Phantom Thread. I absolutely loved it. It was a performance, and it has to do with because I wasn't expecting it. Look, these five for me are probably differentiated by like a hair between them because, again, they're fantastic characters. They're fantastic actresses. I just wasn't expecting what I got from Leslie Manville. It speaks for itself in a lot of ways. The dressing down of Daniel Day-Lewis.
As long as your eyes are on the screen, you can't help but see what's going on.
Yes. And so I have... Janie has been my favorite probably up until today. I still think Janie will probably win.
Does Manville raise her voice louder than this?
No. She, no and if you, but that's part of the allure.
Well, louder than that, but louder than this? No.
The distress and anger she's able to portray without stirring a fucking cup of tea the whole time, which ironically enough is a very similar thing to what Catherine Keener is able to pull off and Get Out, but it's just amazing to me. Again, I wasn't expecting it. That's probably... has to do the most with it in that, man, I don't know. I love this performance, and I can't... Differentiating between these five is really tough for me. What's your 2 and 1?
My 2 is also Janie, which makes Metcalf my number 1. Wow. I don't think that's a surprise to you, because you know I've been Team Metcalf for a while.
Love your mother more than I love mine.
No, I think Laurie Metcalf's on another level this year. I love that performance. I love that it's... And again, it might be because she's the antagonist of the film, where she gets more structured importance in the movie. You know, this could be a thing. Like, should she be in best lead actress? I know it's, you know, does she have... she might have more screen... she has more impact on the plot than Meryl Streep. Plot than the other plot.
That's
close.
An interesting argument.
I mean, yes, Meryl Streep's given the one big dilemma where she makes a decision, but she's not driving the bus most of that movie. That movie's happening to her, and then she arises in that circumstance. This movie... You know, Laurie Metcalf and the daughter just going back and forth. Which
it's like
is,
two Rams in it. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Look, you're not going to get begrudged from me if you pick any of these or some that weren't nominated, which may happen in the Mike and Oscars, because these, like you said, this is maybe 10 deep. I loved all these performances for various reasons. I'm beyond thrilled that this is these strong, fiercely, fiercely independent women are making these characters come to life, and God bless all of them. In the biggest year for women's social justice in a long time, rightfully so. To have these as a representative of that, it warms my heart to see, and I'm glad we are, and it's quite an age to be living in.
Where I'm at, this one has the best chance for a steal on Oscar night.
You think so?
You know, I think with the precursor awards, I think with the strength of the rest of the category, I think this one has the best chance for a steal. But I don't think it'll happen. Maybe I'll change my mind before the prediction
pod. If Mary J. Blige is up there, if Octavia Spencer is up there, I'm fine with any of it. Hmm. I would not be outraged in the least. Can't say the same for some of the male categories. But right, tell us what you think. Are we way off base? Do you think one performance is better than any of the others here in the supporting actress category? Was there someone that you'd like to see? Are you mad that someone wasn't nominated? Holly Hunter, call me. Let us know. We're Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter. I fear the day that I get that wrong. Mike and Oscar on Reddit and MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com. If you want to email us, reach out to us. Let us know. We're having a blast. We are more than halfway. We're almost done with these, believe it or not. More than halfway home. Right. We have original screenplay, best director, and then best picture on the horizon to finish up these category reviews.
We're live tweeting those BAFTAs this weekend. So, follow us on Twitter. And
probably the NBA dunk contest.
Talk to us. Oh, yeah. Maybe that too.
But yeah, let us know. We love talking to you guys, especially on Twitter. We're on there pretty much every night. All the other social media aspects too. We're Mike and Oscar everywhere that podcasts are. Be sure to share, subscribe, and like us. And really, guys, keep spreading the word. We love what you're doing.
We
thank you a billion times over. Otherwise, we will talk to you guys next time. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. Peace.
See ya.